Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
In any case, let's do a quick baralach. It's getting late. I have a short thing I just wanted to share. I really tried to get sheets. I'm sorry. I was not able to put them together before I ran out of time. Let's talk a little bit about garbage. Garbage on Shabbos, yes. My topics are usually chosen by my own personal Shabbos experience, and I'm like, am I allowed to do this? So that usually inspires it. So this week was a garbage issue. There are two issues with dealing in our modern day lives. I'm sure you'll bring up lots of issues which I had not thought about, which is why I always enjoy this. Dealing with garbage. Number one is a concept known as graf shel ri'i. So garbage is generally a muksa issue. Garbage having no purpose, generally, so it becomes muksa. Either it was muksa before Shabbos started, it might become muksa on Shabbos, but it has no purpose, no value, and therefore the starting point would be most items of our garbage would start off as, or an item that definitely has no use or purpose would be muksa. Chazal permitted what's known as graf shel ri'i, which literally would translate as some type of bedpan of for something that was used for some type of human waste or excrement, something which refers to anything that would be repulsive or malodorous. Chazal permitted moving it. It does not have any status of muksa. You can pick it up directly and move it away. The reason for that is kavod habrios, something which smells very bad, repulsive, inappropriate, is not nice to have around on Shabbos. And Chazal said, we don't want you to have that. It's not helping the Shabbostic environment by having something there. So when you have something like that, you are permitted to move it. Therefore, let's use a simple example, a diaper, a used diaper, be it whether it's dirty, just wet, wouldn't make a difference. That would be a classic example of graf shel ri'i. And even though you might say, well, it should be muksa, because what are you going to do with this? It has no purpose. It's not going to be reused. It's pure, unadulterated garbage. Nonetheless, it's not muksa. You're allowed to pick it up and move it because of this heter called graf shel ri'i. It's repulsive, and it's not appropriate to have left lying around. And therefore, you'll have to pick it up and throw it. You don't have to do shino, you know, elbows. If you see anybody walking through your like living room after changing a baby with like your elbows, please point it out to them. It's not necessary. But most people don't do that. It's totally fine. And even though it should be muksa, you just want to pick it up and throw it out. The only caveat to this concept is that the graf shel ri'i has to be in your living space or in the way. So in other words, because it would generally be muksa, so if a diaper ended up outside somewhere, and it's not in the way, so it would be muksa. It certainly would be muksa. It's only the reason why it's not muksa is because it's covered in bris. It's not appropriate to have it in the way on Shabbos, and you can move it if it were to end up in a place that's not in the way. But again, most of the times we wouldn't really care about it if it's not in the way. But when it's in the way, so then certainly you're allowed to move it. Rav Moshe has a very significant tshuva in this concept, and that is that graf shel ri'i does not actually have to be terribly repulsive to be within the heter of graf shel ri'i. He's talking about shells from nuts. Let's say you serve nuts for dessert at Shabbos lunch, and there's some nuts shells on the table. So they don't necessarily smell. They're not disgusting, but they're not so nice. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva that anything that if you were to have guests that would walk in, you would be embarrassed to have your house look this way, would fit into under the category of graf shel ri'i, that you don't have to leave them where they are. You're not required on Shabbos to leave your house in a way that you wouldn't entertain in that situation, and therefore, if you had nuts all over the table in a way that not just like one or two that nobody would not, there were boys in the house who were eating nuts, it's gross, they're just like all over the place, so then you're absolutely allowed to just pick them up in a regular way and throw them out. You would anyway be allowed to use like the back of a knife and without your hands, even without this heter, because even if it were considered muksa, that would be an appropriate way to get them off of the table. But Rav Moshe holds, if you would look at it and say, I would entertain guests. This the table's disgusting. I wouldn't entertain this way. And when you use the word disgusting, I'm like, less than disgusting. It's just you wouldn't entertain that way. Says Rav Moshe, you'd be allowed to remove them. This would therefore apply to all sorts of things like dead bugs, roaches, your filled garbage bags, all of those things. It's muksa. It's fine. You're allowed to sweep it up and get rid of it because you wouldn't want to entertain with an upside down roach on the middle of your dining room floor. That's just not appropriate. So it doesn't have to smell. That roach doesn't smell. It's just an eyesore. It's a big eyesore and you don't want it there. So therefore it's not muksa and you're allowed to So I know none of you ever have.
I'll take it away.
I'm talking theoretical. If you were to have a roach in the middle of your dining room floor on Shabbos, I know that it never would happen, obviously, to any of you. Right.
New York happens.
So in any case, so that all is under the heter of graf shel ri'i, so something which is inappropriate, it either smells or it's something that you would be embarrassed about to have lying around if you were entertaining. It's not considered muktzeh, you'd be allowed to move it, assuming that it is in the way. What about the garbage while it's still in your kitchen? Meaning, in other words, once it's tied up in the bag, which you can only single knot, you can't double knot because of a separate issue of kosher, just reminding you of that. So now I can take my garbage bag, if it's full, I can take it out of my house for this reason. Because I don't like garbage bags sitting around my kitchen, so therefore I want to get it out, and you'd be allowed to do so. What about the garbage is just half full. I just started it. Am I allowed to bring my garbage to the table to clear, as opposed to bringing things in? Is that garbage considered muksa, so that my only heter is I'm embarrassed to have it around, I need to move it out? Or can I actually move it around or not? So let's make sure I'm clear in setting that up. In other words, once it's full and done, and you don't like it there, so then you have the heter of, even if it would normally be muksa, but it's now it's graf shel ri'i, and you could take it out. But it's not full. I'm not embarrassed. It's my kitchen. Kitchens have garbage bags. But it should be muksa, because it's garbage. So what happens at that stage? What can I move it? Can I not move it? Can I bring it to the table? So the issue comes down to the following idea. Chazal held that food which is still edible does not become muksa even if you throw it out. Edible food, usable products, simply putting it in a garbage does not make it muksa, assuming that, and their garbage was certainly better, were less than ours, meaning in our garbage you could certainly fish something out of there. And it's often done in many homes for various reasons where things need to be fished out of the garbage. And as long as it's still edible, it actually does not become muksa. Which means that, unfortunately, in the society we live in which we are terribly wasteful of our food, there is a lot of edible food and other products in the garbage that if you were to need it, somebody might actually go in there and take it out. It doesn't happen often, because in our terribly wasteful society we don't need stuff, so we throw them out, but it's actually usable. And then if you were, just making up an example on the spot here, if somebody had thrown out a soda bottle, and then 2 hours later you realize it's Mimosa Shabbos and your kid has a project that they need a soda bottle for school, and you don't have any soda bottles, so you're in the garage, run it under the sink and you'd use it. That's not like the craziest thing that no one's ever... It was garbage. All right, but I need it, and it's sitting, I don't use it. So therefore, there are a lot of items in the actual garbage which never became muksa. There are certainly some items which did become muksa because there are completely valueless, wasteless. There's nothing to do with it. But the garbage bag, therefore, has its status of a little bit of both. So what happens to that status of the garbage bag? So there are some poskim who say there's enough things in there that are actually muksa that you really should not move the garbage bag. And that's why you'll hear there are many people who would say you should not bring the garbage bag to the table. And the reason for that is because there are many things in the garbage bag which are actually muksa, and therefore you should not move, shouldn't move the garbage bag. So if you've heard of that, or been in homes where people tell you not to, or you have a husband who tells you not to, that's where that comes from. There are poskim, I spoke to Rapinsky about this earlier today, and he actually felt it was most poskim, who are lenient on this, and who say that the actual status of the garbage bag is not defined as muksa, because there are so many things in there that just never halachically became muksa. Even if, I know you're thinking, like, I would never go in my garbage. That's fine. That's kol kavod. Don't start going into... You don't... It's not like that. The tray where we spoke about, where you have to go home and actually use it. It's not true. You don't have to go into your garbage like once a week to make sure that it doesn't take on a status of muksa. It's just intrinsic. If it's usable, even if you yourself would not go into your garbage, the garbage never became muksa, because Shabbos, it started with food. So you're simply putting it in the garbage bag in the way that our garbage bags are today does not change its status according to most poskim, and therefore the garbage bag itself will actually not become muksa. Therefore, there are significant poskim that you can rely on, who would say you can actually bring the garbage bag to the table even when it's not filled. This is not even needing the heter of that Chazal say of graf shel ri, holding it to be something disgusting that you need to get out of your house. You can just bring it to the table if that's easier, if you'd like. There are, again, I present it that way, that there are poskim who are opposed to that. So if it's not a big deal, you could bring it, you know, leave the garbage where it is and just bring the plates, whatever you have on the table, to the kitchen. But there are significant poskim that you can most certainly rely on, who would say that the garbage bag itself never indeed became muksa. Rabbi Pransky told me, I was talking about it, that Rabbi Torshayer, am I pronouncing your name?
Torshiner,
thank you. Lives in Toronto. And for those of you who know him, he's the son-in-law of
Gottlieb.
So he told me he in Toronto, the law is that you have to recycle and you have to compost. Yes. So it, everything.
Really?
So what he was saying?
You empty the diaper
the
content into the compost.
Oh my goodness! Is that a reason not to live in Toronto?
And they only collect garbage every other week.
So what he was saying was that would actually change if you live. That would change if that means your regular kitchen garbage actually now is all garbage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because in America, the land of the wasteful, mm-hmm. so our garbages are filled.
Land of the free.
Land of the free. So we, our garbages are actually filled with a tremendous amount of usable stuff that we throw out anyway. But if your garbage is actually garbage, because any food product has been put into the compost section, and anything recyclable has been put in the recyclable section, so what you're left with is garbage, so then you would be left with a muksa item until it became graf shel ri. When it's full, and now you don't want it there, then you could take it out. But you would not be able to bring that to your table. But if you hold that in your homes, you are very careful with that, and food is not wasted, and stuff that's thrown into the garbage is actually garbage, so then that's where the starting point would be, then it's garbage. It's not like you can't say across the board, you know, garbage bags are not muksa. Garbage bags are only not muksa because there's so much. We have an assumption in today's day and age, there's an assumption that there's a tremendous amount of actual usable stuff, product in there, that if you need it, so you can go in there and get it, even though most people 99% of the time wouldn't, but it's there and it's usable. So if you were to say, let's say we moved to Eretz Yisrael and society doesn't function that way and everybody is careful and garbage is garbage, then again the garbage bag would be mux and you couldn't move it to the table, but you'd always have the heter of getting it out of your house because it's gross to have full garbage bags in your house. But that's only when it's full and it becomes gross. Before it's full, that's where this discussion is, what's the status of the garbage bag? And that's going to be contingent upon how much usable stuff is still in there. Clear? Make sense? Yeah.
What happens if you have a garbage can that's at the bottom of your driveway? Nobody brought it up before Shabbos. You can't
bring it up. So
same thing.
So that would become, in other words, what are the heterim here? So the heterim here are, there's usable stuff in there.
Well, no, it's empty now.
It's just empty.
So there's nothing usable.
And that it's disgusting. And it's in the way. Sometimes even if it smells, but it's got to be in the way. But like where, it's that's a tough argument.
You normally wouldn't like it to be down there.
Correct,
with guests,
but not.
But it's not a reason. You're moving it closer to your home.
It's harder to say that that's already, you know, that a garbage can at the tip of the driveway, even though it's true, you know, if you had your druthers, you know, when you were hosting guests, you wouldn't have it there.
You have to leave it there.
But if you take out a garbage bag from your house, then you can get the garbage bag.
Right? It doesn't have it.
Wait, hold on one second. Let me, what's that?
If you have a garbage bag in your house and you need to put a place to put it somewhere outside your house, you can get that bin at the bottom of your driveway to put it in. Because you're not going to leave it on the side of your house where the rest, you know, like...
Right, as once you're holding the garbage bag and you have the heter to get it out of your house, you could put it somewhere else. You're saying put it in the can. And then move the can back down?
The can, no, not back down. You need a place to put it.
Oh, because you're not using the can for, actually? Are you saying that because you've heard that, or you're suggesting that?
Yeah.
Seen it. You do that every. Yeah, so you're saying it, but that's where that, because a Friday pickup, you just forgot to get the stuff before Shabbos.
Somebody
where it's already empty. Somebody else forgot to bring the garbage can back to the house. So it's a Shalom bias issue.
not the spouse's fault.
No, that's a pikuach nefesh issue.
You're allowed to put it in the can.
So a single knot you can, because it's not really a knot. Meaning single knot meaning you do it just once. That you could do, because that you could pull out with one finger. That's not real. That doesn't have a halacha. That's not doesn't have a status of a knot, as evidenced by the fact that most of mine are undone by the time Shabbos is over. Anyway, anything you could do with a finger, you could just undo, isn't really a knot. So if you were to do it once and you do that a second time, so then that you can't do on Shabbos. But the single one you can. Okay. Have a great evening, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.